Welcome back to America Tonight, the holiday edition, as we're just, you know, moments away, it seems, from Thanksgiving. Who better to kick around the turkey with than Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News? Ellen, has everybody fled Washington already?
Well, they were trying to flee Washington. I've been in a car, actually, and there was so much traffic. But the town is bigger than a doornail.
I like that. All right, we get the picture. It is certainly not the same thing, sadly, in the Middle East, what's going on with at the Gaza Strip and with Israel. Hillary Clinton cut short her trip, her part of her Asia trip, left Cambodia. What's the latest there?
The latest is that she went, it sounds like, from the reports that we are getting, that she went to the Ramallah, to the West Bank. I did not go to Gaza, where the problems are, to speak with the Palestinian Authority. Now, they are officially, you know, they lead those two sections of the earth. But it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to go along with them because Hamas really has control over the Gaza Strip. So Hillary Clinton today went there, now on her way, or if she may already be there, in Egypt, because Egypt is trying to broker a deal. They were going to announce sort of a ceasefire agreement, but an hour ago had not been announced. So things are happening quickly, and they're up in the air and going fast.
Let's go in a different direction as we move from the Middle East. You can't help but get away from these saucy headlines over Jill Kelly and Paula Broadwell, who was the one-time Mistress Broadwell of General Petraeus, the former general, former CIA director, and you know, put the pieces together and let them fall as they may. But, Ellen, you said you were reading something that there's some new information about the emails between the two.
Well, that's right. The Daily Beast put out a very interesting sort of tidbit of information saying that those Paula Broadwell emails were not so innocuous after all, that they were somewhat threatening, sort of saying that they wish Miss Kelly would not be on the planet, that kind of thing. That kind of email can be seen as threatening and may actually be, depending on what was really said, may actually carry some criminality if it's a threat.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out now. That's something else to follow with that story. This is big, toys and clothes, and I guess the dangers inherent in those. You were telling me about something that you found out today about, you know, the press release that's put out about it.
Yeah, the Consumer Federation of America, I believe they're the ones that have done the toy thing. You can look it up, annual toy guide. In terms of, you know, toxicity, annual toxic toy guide, and they will tell you exactly what toys are made out of and what to watch out for. Well, not to be outdone by that, Greenpeace came out with their stitching report and basically said that they are concerned about some manufacturers and, how clothes are handled in terms of are there any poisons in the manufacturing process. And do they leave residues in the clothing? And so both of those are sort of where everybody's going.
Yeah. All right, so look for that guide. As Ellen said, it comes out each and every year. And then this, the final thing, there's always the annual turkey pardoning at the White House, but maybe not this time?
Oh, I think there will be a turkey pardoning at the White House. You know, this has been going on since 1948 or 1949, Harry Truman, I believe, was the first president to officially pardon a turkey, although Abraham Lincoln apparently wrote a turkey pardon for his son. And so PETA believes that, well, you pardon this turkey, but all, you know, 54 million turkeys have been killed. And as you know, I do have a pet turkey who broke my nose, my beloved Pavo, and I do not eat turkey.
There you go. Well said. I love that. Ellen Ratner, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on,
thank
as
you.
Always.
Happy Thanksgiving to all.
All right. Thank you. Be safe.
You got it.
Hey, coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we check in on this holiday week with Stephen Shohat. Each and every week we do that. He's our man in Hollywood. Best storyteller in the world. If he covered politics, I think politicians would be shaking in their boots. Seriously, he gets the big-time backstory. So we're going to talk about Twilight and the crazy phenomena of that and the actor's point of view on it, and also take a look back at a very, 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 very famous film celebrating its 50th birthday. It's interesting now when you go to the movies, especially there's one particular theater that does it. I want to say it's Cinemark. They're bringing back the classics, and once a week or a couple times a month, they do this thing where classic movies are shown, and, you know, movies that some of us weren't alive for and might have saw on television or saw bits and pieces of or perhaps rented, but now they're playing them on the big screen, and some of them would be pretty cool, I think, to see, so we'll talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about whether or not people who are in the country illegally should be granted driver's license. A driver's license privilege. Think about that for a second. Chew on it. And let me know how you feel as we come to the tail end of this hour. And it's emails, emails, emails. And, you know, it's interesting what Ellen was just saying there, that the emails had a little bit of a threat to it. We sort of knew that. We sort of knew that, obviously, Jill Kelly was upset and felt like there were threatening things being hurled at her. But Ellen's right about how far did the emails go. Is there an off chance that criminal charges could be filed? And, of course, that may also lie with Jill Kelly. She could probably go after, at least civilly, if not criminally, maybe she could go after her civilly. This whole thing is not going away anytime soon. I'm sure General Petraeus would love to see it just float away. But, unfortunately, there's too much intrigue here. And this is, sadly, the gift that keeps on giving back and back and back and back and forth to the media, especially the people in the business of making up the headlines. What a great job that would be for a paper like the New York Post, where it's all about being salacious and big, bold headlines, or some of the other rags out there that kind of slant in one direction. Like, let's say the Boston Herald, that would be another one of those papers. More pictures and more dramatic headlines. And even the USA Today has some kind of pop headlines. So if that was your job, imagine just dreaming up every day the headline that you were going to put out there. And on the serious side, and this is something we already touched on, Clinton in the Gaza truce talks, as I mentioned, she bolts from Asia, cuts that trip short, realizing, of course, as we all do, the seriousness of what's happening in Israel and in Gaza, the fact that we're seeing more people that are getting killed in this situation, and this ceasefire seems to be elusive. Earlier in the day, I got a note from someone I know saying, boy, it looks like we're getting closer. And then an hour later, scratch that was what I got. Scratch that. And it, so it looks to be as though it's not going to be so easy to shake this tree and get this truce. What is the outcome ultimately going to be? Boots on the ground would not be desirable, which is why we've sent 2,500 extra Marines in ships to just kind of meander around the Mediterranean, keep their eye on what's happening should something escalate the way we don't want to see it escalate. So all those guys were headed home to get there before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving. They turned some of those warships around and sent them back into the Mediterranean just to be safe. Odds and ends coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This Thanksgiving, either Wednesday or perhaps doing it on Thursday. Sometimes Thursday is the better day because everybody feels like, I want to get in place, I got to get there Wednesday. The biggest travel day of the year is Wednesday. It should be crazy at the airports. 43 million perhaps flying, although that's actually maybe a tad off, like 3% down. And some of that is because of the price of the tickets. The price of the tickets definitely were jacked a little bit higher, except for American, if you were going to roll the dice and take a chance on American, because remember all that stuff was going on with them just a couple of months ago, still is, but the pilots and, oh, is it the airlines going down and problems with everything on the planes, and meaning one little thing happens that never was checked before and you are back at the gate and suddenly you can't get a plane out, and a lot of people complaining about American. They took a bad black eye because of what was being reported maintenance-wise from the pilots. And, in fact, they took a bigger hit even in trying to, in people trying to get from point A to point B, and there was nothing in between unless you were a preferred traveler. If you were high on their list, they sent you a letter to say, oh, don't worry, we'll make sure you're going to be okay. But if you were just Joe Schmalina buying a ticket and you were back in the seats that weren't preferred or upgraded, and you didn't have the platinum card, well, guess what? You were out of luck in some cases. And I flew during that time period and got lucky until the very last leg of the trip from Ireland. And that by that time, you're just a bag of bones anyway. So if you slump over in the seat at beautiful O'Hare Airport. As long as someone wakes you up before you get on your fifth plane, then you're okay. However, I saw firsthand what was going on and people really freaking out and, you know, trying to get rearranged because they were getting connecting flights. And that's when it gets super, super worrisome. So connectors and all, people that are connecting, and I think people that have very, very far distances to go, it's going to be a very long, long couple of days. Wherever you're traveling to, please be safe, my friends, listening to us across America and across the world. And send us your travels. Hey, if you got a little snapshot, take one of those little camera phone pictures, send it to me at americatonight.net. Click on contact and you can tell us what happened. Coming up in our third hour, don't forget we have nailed the score. And you know what that means? You don't have to know anything about football. You basically just have to throw out a guess. Once our super, super, super computer that is unhackable tells us ultimately what the game of the week is going to be in the NFL, then you take a shot at it. Whatever you feel like saying and whatever team you think will win, it's just like circling lottery numbers. All right, this is a little bit of O&E, and if you've never listened to the show before, so much is happening that kind of pricks our attention that I think it demands a little bit of flushing out, a little bit of discussion. We were talking earlier in the week about San Francisco and what they were going to do, the city council, on nudity. Because, you know, were they going to ban public nudity or are they going to let it roll, let the nakedness continue in San Francisco? You know, actually, there were a lot of nudists in San Francisco. I can remember when I lived in California taking trips up to San Francisco. I'm not saying people were walking around naked all over the place, but there were a lot of colonies here and there. And the idea now that it's just been taken away, that you cannot be nude, has now really irked the nudists. And they're rivaling the attention of the PETA people in that city because the folks that thought they were going to get that free pass to be naked are disappointed. It was a narrow margin, but there's a ban on public nakedness. And, you know, San Francisco is San Francisco. Hey, Ashbury, hey, let it fly, let it roll. It's like Vegas. What happens in San Francisco, nobody needs to know. It's just a different world. In San Francisco, I'm not even talking about in the peninsula where Silicon Valley is, but just in deep in the bowels of San Francisco, it is kind of, you know, do what you want to do and let things ride. So the nudists felt that this would undermine the free expression that the city is so favorably viewed as, one of those beacons of destination places where you can just be free to be whatever you are. The Board of Supervisors, because it actually wasn't the City Council, the Board of Supervisors voted 6-5, that sounds like the Supreme Court, 5-4, 6-5 in favor of what they call a public safety ordinance that doesn't allow exposed, and this is how they termed it, genitals in most public places, including streets, sidewalks, and public transportation. Now, it has to have a final vote, and the mayor has to put his signature to it to make it kick into effect early next year. Here's my prediction. I'm not kidding you. How much do you want to bet there's going to be lots of naked people walking around to protest this thing in San Francisco with, like, Santa hats on and stuff? Oh, yeah, we're going to see tons of pictures. You can just go anywhere. Yahoo, MSN, Drudge, you know, Fox, wherever. Whatever website tickles your fancy, go there. Guarantee you're going to see that at least three times. There's going to be some kind of like the Occupy. Well, how about Occupy This? And there's going to be nakedness, naked protests around the city. So no more bare bodies. No more of that. Almost likely it's going to get the final approval and sail through. One of the supervisors, whose name is John Avalos, said, "I'm concerned about civil liberties, about free speech, about changing San Francisco's style and how we are as a city. I cannot," and this is, I love this quote, "I cannot and will not bite this apple," get the reference, "and I refuse to put on this fig leaf." And people went crazy listening to that comment. Would have been interesting to be there to see all the people jumping up and down. Of course, some of the people jumping up and down had all their junk going up and down because they were naked. A lot of people that were at the hearing were nude. I don't know. Is it too much to ask to put on? Do you want to see people walking around in their birthday suit? I'm just saying. To each his own, I guess. But it definitely takes a certain character to be able to confidently, let's put it this way, confidently be able to and want to do that. How's that? Here's the deal on illegals and driver's licenses. What do you think? Should somebody who's in the country, and this, I know I am just begging to have a showdown here, but should people who are in the country illegally be able to get a driver's license, be able to drive? Or is this just more of the ridiculousness that ensues over an issue that continues to thrive and get bigger and bigger, and nobody really wants to touch it? There's discussion of amnesty, there's discussion of fines, there's discussions of a pathway to this and another pathway in this other direction. And of course, we keep going around in circles. It's like we're on a wild merry-go-round and all the horses are starting to shake loose. And so this is just more of the same. More of the same of, okay, driver's license, you know, then that means you can show driver's licenses for all kinds of things, including for voting. And it goes back to the whole voting question. And we are, of course, through this political season, but trust me, there's another one off in the horizon. So the ultimate tug of war and the place where it really starts, besides at the border and the border crossings and all of that, really is about the driver's license thing. And here's the thing to me. I've had three friends, because I lived at one point for a very short time, 7 months in my television career, in El Paso, Texas, growing up in the East. This wasn't a problem. This wasn't part of the discussion because we weren't near the border, and I'm sure there were people that were illegal. A lot of them were from Ireland, and there might have been some that were from Mexico or Central America, but it wasn't a big, bad, burning issue. The way now it has become, by the way, in the Northeast, in the Midwest. It's not just in the South or on the border states, but the border states are the worst. So follow along with me. If you just tuned in, follow along. Illinois is saying they're going to grant driver's licenses to people who are illegal. And Illinois, which is, of course, begging you to come because they're gouging you with high taxes since the state is falling apart, tax-wise anyway. And it could soon become the state with the most, could become the most populous state to grant any kind of a form of driver's licenses to illegal immigrants with a growing Hispanic population. And, of course, what we just saw happen in the elections. Boy, I think this is a slippery slope. But guess what? We know this. Washington State and New Mexico already do that. We're kicking it around with Stephen, Hollywood style, next.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us.
us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Their goal isn't punishment, it's power, it's acquisition. Carlisle might not ask you to fight, but I will. For the sake of my family, but also for yours. And for the way you want to live. The Pacts will fight. We've never been afraid of vampires.
Vampires, werewolves, and everything in between. That's a little snippet from the latest Twilight. Each and every week, Stephen Showhead pops on from Hollywood. He is the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. And these three main actors became very, very famous quickly thanks to the way the first installment of Twilight took off, and the rest is now history, as they say, where their careers go. They're young, they're sought after. We know at least financially they're probably going to do pretty good, but what they turn into and how they evolve will be interesting to follow. Stephen, did you see all the Twilight movies or no? Whoops, we lost Stephen. I think he had enough. I think he decided, you know what, that's how I feel about the Twilight movies. They're all about teenagers, so forget it. You know, that's how they were built, which is, to me, what's interesting. Right from the very first movie, this became ultimately sort of preteens and full-on teenagers, and then maybe young adults and others who liked the anything vampire started to watch it. Stephen, did you see the Twilight films? Were you a fan at all?
I gotta admit, I'm not. I tried to read them, and I just couldn't get into it. And I just to to say that it's youthful and not for me, I guess that's a good argument, but I really liked The Hunger Games. I read all three of those books. So it was more of a reaction to reading it, I think, and not enjoying it. But obviously, you know what's interesting? I mean, like when Harry Potter was written, J.K. Rowling was told, don't expect any sales. When To Kill a Mockingbird was written, Harper Lee was told, don't expect any sales. But when Stephanie Myers came up with her dream about a vampire and a young girl getting together and the vampire resisting his desire to kill her, the publisher paid her $750,000 in advance fees and said, I think this was going to be a big hit. And they were absolutely right.
Was she a known writer before that?
No experience. Just came up with a dream and you know, obviously there are similarities a little bit to the storyline of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Although in Buffy the vampires were originally supposed to be metaphors and not. There was a chemistry there between Sarah Michelle Gellar and David Boreanaz, and Joss Whedon decided to change direction of that series a little bit. But Stephanie Myers was not a well-known writer. It just came up with a phenomenal thing. I mean, now you go in the bookstores and there's a section in some bookstores for teenage paranormal romance. So that's due to Stephanie Myers. I mean, it's just an unbelievable phenomenon. And certainly the three actors have benefited from that career-wise, although you know, they've had ups and downs. I mean, Robert Pattinson was saying, do you think it's a tragedy that the Twilight saga is over now? And he said, well, it's kind of a tragedy for the fans, sort of implying that he was relieved to go on from here.
Yeah, and then Taylor Lautner, boy, good-looking guy. A lot of Hollywood types when they start saying, oh, like a Taylor Lautner type. When they start to say that means, okay, you've arrived. And I hear in some of the scripts they're starting to say that. So he has kind of arrived at a young age.
Yeah, there's speculation that he'll stay closer to mainstream movies and probably won't take as much risk. But it also depends on what you get offered. I mean, Kristen Stewart, I mean, she was the one who was really selected to be in those movies when she was on the set of the movie Adventureland and approached by the director of Twilight, the first one, Catherine Hardwicke, to do a screen test. And Robert Pattinson and Taylor Lautner, on the other hand, really had to audition. And then there was a rumor that, I don't know if it's well-founded, that Taylor Lautner would lose the role in the second movie. And so he worked out like crazy. And obviously his physical shape is a big topic of conversation. And obviously there's a lot of scenes with his shirt off. So that probably helps the box office too. I think Robert Pattinson actually he's obviously not a vampire. I think he's you know, very charming, funny guy in interviews. And I think he might be the one, if I had to predict, that would come out with the most diversity in potential roles and show different sides when he gets further away from this franchise.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. It's interesting because we've spurned some conversation. One of the texts says, the Underworld movies are better than Twilight. And then it's funny trying to think about the characters. Cop says, I remember Lon Chaney, the werewolf Boris Karloff, and Christopher Lee. I would say I would agree more with that than what we're seeing with Twilight. I agree with you. I tried to read them. I did see the first two, and then I couldn't just watch them after that.
I have to agree with the other people. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just not a fan, but you know what? It's, I got to respect people who are, I guess, and cause they really seem to enjoy it. And I mean, it's doing a tremendous amount of business. So I'm sure we'll see similar things, at least somewhat similar things sometime in the near future here.
Yeah. The other thing we wanted to talk about, and I was saying that, you know, recently when I was at the movie theaters, I think I was in the Cinemark theater, and they were really pushing the classics, that they would have this one day where they were showing a different classic, like Gone with the Wind or whatever it might be. And I can only imagine that To Kill a Mockingbird would be on the list. And you sent me a note, and is it true it's the 50th anniversary of that film?
Yeah, 50. It came out, actually, we're a little early. It came out December 25th, 1962. And, of course, it was the only book Harper Lee ever wrote, and it was based on her upbringing in Monroe, Alabama. What happened was that the filmmakers went to that city to see if they could replicate, if they could use it. And by the story takes place in the 30s, but by the 60s, it was too modernized. So every bit of that movie was filmed at Universal Studios. In fact, the courthouse that they used was the same courthouse that was used later on in Back to the Future. So, I mean, they really created an atmosphere. And of course, Gregory Peck, he read the story in one night shortly after the book came out, just really wanted to do the role of Atticus Finch. It was somebody you could really relate to. And when Harper Lee, she actually visited Universal Studios and watched Gregory Peck do the scenes and was crying. And he said, "Oh, I really moved you, huh, Harper?" And she goes, "Oh, Greg, you have a little pot belly just like my father did." And he goes, "Oh, that's just great acting. I don't really have a pot belly." And it just had a really good atmosphere on that set. The one thing was the two kids didn't always get along well, Philip Alford and Mary Badham. Philip Alford had come into the when he auditioned for the movie, he didn't want to. And then his mom told him, "Well, if you do it, you'll miss school." And he said, "Okay, I'll do it." And he ended up getting the role of Jim. And of course, that movie was also the first time the public got to see Robert Duvall. And he just had a short scene where he didn't say anything, but he actually stayed indoors for 6 weeks so he could sort of appear like an albino character, the Boo Radley character, during the movie. So he did a lot of work even though he's kind of a mute in the movie, he just got a ton of emotion across. And that movie really affected people. I mean, so many people saw that movie and later came up to Gregory Peck and said, "You inspired me to become a lawyer."
Oh, how about that? And, Harper Lee, we only have a couple minutes left, but Harper Lee was pretty elusive, didn't do very many interviews, right?
Yeah, she didn't write anything else either. And she was expecting, she said she was sort of expecting To Kill a Mockingbird as a novel to get ripped by the reviewers. And she was hoping somebody would encourage her to go on as the writer. And instead what happened was it was a smash hit and she chose not to write anymore. So or at least nothing, maybe she has written some stuff, but it didn't get published, or she didn't submit it. But she does seem to be a pretty reclusive person. And of course, that novel was based on real things that happened. Her father was a lawyer who did defend two black defendants who were accused of a crime and didn't get off, and then never worked in another criminal case. So there were a lot of real life things. The thing about courtroom movies, though, it's a big set with a lot of people on the setting, and Gregory Peck, when he delivered his summation in the court, he did it in one take, and everybody gave him a big ovation. So he knew he was on to something, because normally with movies, you do them, there's just a couple people there, and maybe the crew would burst to applause once in a while, but to have all your fellow actors in that scene be so moved by the speech, I think he knew that he had a great possibility for an Oscar there, which he won.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely tremendous. I love that film. Happy Thanksgiving, Stephen Showhead, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. HollywoodStories.com is the website. Thanks for having me.
All right, check it out, everybody. Don't forget also to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Go to AmericaTonight.com.
Healthy Good soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
America tonight, you know, here we are on the precipice of another Thanksgiving, and boy, I'm at a loss to explain some of the things that are going on in this country. While I'm all about America, and I think we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, I want to keep it that way for the future generations, because I feel like I'm giving like that. I have a theory that it's the us's and the them's. And the thems could be really nice people, but hey, I got mine. I'm on the grab. I'm grabbing everything up I can, and so be it. Let the chips fall where they may for the people behind. But I think that's a bad attitude. That's why you have to be concerned about politics. And politics umbrella is under the umbrella of politics. There's a lot of things that fall there. Like, you read things about food stamps, and we know they were high. For every one job, 75 people are on food stamps in the United States. There are 42 million people on food stamps. Here we are, heading into Thanksgiving, 42 million people find themselves in that spot. And some of you are listening to me, and you know what I'm talking about, because people living in California, people in Connecticut, they're some of the worst places where people find themselves in that position of getting food stamps. So here's the deal. A family on food stamps has to buy a whole meal for each person for less than the average cost of a cup of coffee. And that's why you see, you know, you see people that are struggling to try to figure out how they can use the food stamps for the food. And I don't go to Walmart ever, but one time I went to Walmart. And I went to Walmart because I had this thing about all the stuff from China and that, you know, made in the USA. So one time I got roped into going to Walmart. And I noticed, and it was late, and I noticed there were a lot of people with food stamps. And I felt badly for them. I felt badly because there was, you could see there was some confusion and trying to figure out what to do. I think there were people who were new to the food stamp thing and were trying to figure out, well, what can they buy with the food stamps? What can they get? And they went there, obviously, because they could stretch the stamps probably a little bit further. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture says that the average participation is what they're calling it. In supplemental nutritional assistance programs, or the food stamp program, has jumped 70%. 70%. Listen to that statistic. 70% since 2007. Last year, $72 billion. That was the cost of SNAP. That's the highest ever. 72 billion. We could say, well, bigger population, so of course the number's going to be bigger. But the 70%, wow, that's not good. 70%. And not everybody. See, because there's that theory that floats around that everybody's just taking the money. They're just hanging around. They're watching, what is it, Honey Bobo or Boo Boo or whatever her name is. You can tell I don't watch reality TV. The Jersey Shore people, they're hanging around watching the judge shows. They're eating Twinkies while they still can before Twinkies are no longer. And that's not necessarily a fair assessment of why somebody finds themselves in that position. It has to do with the job situation. And I really believe this, that if you give somebody a job, things change. They brighten. They open up in a whole different way, especially if they have tried and tried and tried and can't get it. There has got to be a way to reverse that and change that program somehow and instead create the situations where you get people back to work where they don't have to find themselves in a position where they are on food stamps. 70% since 2007 is just a ridiculously high number. I mean, a ridiculously high number. There has to be more opportunity created out there. I mean, I know there's opportunity. There has to be more. There's not enough. Remember, that was the rallying cry heading into the election, whether it was the Democrats or whether it was the Republicans. Jobs, jobs, jobs. I mean, that's it. That's what everybody was talking about. So where are these jobs, jobs, jobs? They have to be created, which is, I'll go back to my one big thing. Not one, I have five. One of the five, this is one of the five. Having talked to enough people who run companies and not greedy people who are making 325% more than the people underneath them. People that are really just trying to create things because, you know what, they want to feel good. They want to grow their company. They want to answer the shareholders, but they want the company to grow to also feel good. They have families involved and all that stuff. And the corporate tax rate has got to come down. Because if that was lowered, I honestly see those more of those jobs being created where there still is pensions, there still is future possibilities tied to them, where people can create a certain amount of stability or some wealth, a path to wealth. But that number has to be lowered. We cannot have the highest corporate tax rate in America. And why do we have the highest corporate tax rate? Because we're missing so much money in so many other areas. And when we look at the tax base and the money coming in, it's all messed up. It is jimmy-rigged. And so that's why you have all these people on food stamps. At least I know we could slice that number down. And sure, there are going to be people that are takers, but there's some that want to sit at the big table, and they want to have a job. They don't want to be on food stamps. And since it's Thanksgiving, it made me think about that, that's a time to reflect on, hey, what can we do? What can we do as a nation? How can we turn this equation around? How do we do it? I can't get out of this hour, I can't escape it, without talking about Petraeus. And the situation here is just because, you know, I'm still a poll princess, and Gallup came out with a poll that said the majority of Americans, and the question was, are you of the mind that Petraeus has the right to resign? Well, of course he has the right to resign. But half of all Americans believe that the former CIA director had no choice but to resign, that he had to resign. So that's half. Even though they agreed with his choice to resign, still a lot view him in a favorable way because of how he handled Iraq and Afghanistan, how he handled those wars while running the CIA. 51% of all Americans said he had no choice but to resign after an FBI investigation into the whole thing about how he was having an affair with the biographer Paula Broadwell. And 41%, by the way, think he should not have quit. 8 just undecided on the whole thing. So that's pretty interesting. And then the other part is 53% are paying close attention, somewhat close attention, to what's happening here. 53%, that's pretty high. That's high enough that newsrooms, especially television newsrooms, are going to keep chasing this dog and pony show around for a while. Because that's a lot. But if you compare it to the 71% of Americans who are paying, according to Gallup, close attention to news about the fiscal cliff, wow. 53%, the gossip, the titillation, the emails, the women, all that stuff, compared to 71% fiscal cliff. We come back around again to jobs and money and the economy. This was the whole thing with the election, and this is what people are concerned about. And somehow in Washington, they got to really get it through their heads that people want to be able to survive and they want a chance at thriving, and not everybody can create their own company. Some people have to work for other people. And that was the base of your middle class. And that middle class has come to the point of breaking in half. With these high numbers, the lack of jobs, food stamps, and frankly, that despair that we're seeing with even the high suicide numbers. Hate to end on a bad note. If you're traveling, carry on and good luck, safe travels. Send us your shots. We want to see you in the airports or eating turkey, watching football. And tell us what your final destination was. AmericaTonight.net. Send it there.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA Drops. 2 months after taking RNA Drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA Drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com
or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.